May be seated. Junior Church, if you want your young one to go that way, otherwise turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. You know, this week I looked at several different surveys, today being New Year's Eve and coming to a new year, and I was looking for the top answers to this question. What do you wish you had more of? And as I looked at these surveys, the younger generation, the younger age, when that they were asked that question, I wish I had more, can you guess what they said? Money. Now the older generation asked that question, I wish I had more time. Now, why is that? Because the younger you are, you don't realize how precious time is. Time is precious. Life has no reset buttons, no do-overs, no mulligans. And you know, the average lifespan in America right now is 78 years. So if you, and it might seem like a long time, but the older you get, the less, you know, you realize that 78 isn't that long. But if you calculate this out in months, it would only be 936 months. And I'm fascinated as I, you know, every month, it's fellowship dinner again. Months just fly by. And so 936 months, 78 years would be 28,528 days. It would be 684,684 hours, 41,081,040 seconds, and that seems like a lot of time unless you're 77. You know, now it doesn't seem that long. I don't know if anyone's 77 here. I don't mean to offend you. But remember, it's just an average, just an average. So in reality, you stop and think about life, and life is short, and it's we don't have a lot of time, especially when you begin to break it down. And I believe, and I haven't read this recently, but every second four people die. And so you stop and think about, I mean, life is short. You spend, and then think about this, break it down further. If you lived until you're 78, you spend 25 years sleeping. You spend another 10.3 years working, and on average you spend 3.6 years eating, 2 years in meetings. Now get this one, ladies spend 1.5 years in front of a mirror getting ready to go. And before we make fun of them, men, maybe we should take a little bit of time making sure we are ready to go. You know, I actually grew my hair out a little bit, but usually I look in the mirror and what can you do to this? There's no hope. But you break this down and you start to realize that, man, it slips by fast. And if you live until you're 78, here's the most striking statistic of all. You're awake around 53 years. But what do you do with that time? It's estimated in your 53 years awake, 70% of the average American's awake time is spent in front of a screen, gaming, on social media, or watching television. Out of your 53 years awake, 37 of those years is spent in front of a screen. That's pretty shocking. So as I thought about that this week, and then I thought about New Year's, people often make a New Year's resolution. I went to Ephesians chapter 5, so let's turn to Ephesians 5. I'm going to read verses 15 through 20. And I want to look this morning at redeeming the time. Ephesians 5, 15 through 20. It says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Now, before I continue on, if you see on the screen behind me, there's two different words here. So the English word time, there's two Greek words that are translated to the English word time. One is chronos. We get our English word chronology. So chronos is is seconds, minutes, hours. Okay, it's measured. It's measured by a clock. Okay, so chronos. The other word is kairos, and that's the word that's used here. And kairos is, and they're closely related, because your kairos is filled with seconds, minutes, hours. But your kairos is really, it's a window of opportunity. And that's the word that is used here in Ephesians 5. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming your window of opportunity, redeeming your kairos, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So let's pray, and then we're going to look at redeeming the time. Lord, thank you again just for the opportunity that we have this morning to stop and consider this window of opportunity that we have. I pray that today we would all be convicted of how we're using this window of opportunity, and that then that we would make the changes that we should make in order to best use this opportunity that you've given to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So our kairos, how are we using up our kairos? What are we doing with our kairos, this window of opportunity that we have, this thing that we call life? And in, when we think of life, this window of opportunity we have, we also, within that thing we call life, we have different windows of opportunity. For instance, Jerry, you retired from IBM, right? Jerry's window of opportunity at IBM ended when he retired. Tia's window of opportunity at the high school is going to be done this year, right? You are going to graduate, I'm sure. Probably top of the class, if I remember right. But see, our window of opportunity, this thing we call life, within that window of opportunity, we have other windows. We have other opportunities. My window of opportunity coaching wrestling is done. I resigned after last year. And so this thing we have called life, and within that there's different windows of opportunity. There's different kairos that we have. The first thing I want to look at this morning is time is a limited commodity. And you can think of this in chronos or kairos. It's limited. Time is uncertain. Your period of opportunity is uncertain. As I said, the average lifespan is 78 years. It's made up of minutes and seconds, but it's an average. I was in fifth grade at Cohasset Elementary, and I remember my mom walking in, which was unusual. But she talked to the teacher, and then they pulled me out of the classroom, and I was told that my five-year-old cousin died. I remember March 2021, I was at the King School coaching wrestling. My phone rang. My sister called me, which is unusual. I answered the phone, and she said, my nephew, her son, got electrocuted. He died. He's 39 years old. I was wiring a house on Wabana in 2006. And I walked out to my truck, and I grabbed my phone, and I had a call. My brother-in-law was electrocuted, died, 31. And so this 78 is an average. Time is uncertain. We don't know how much time we have. James 4:14, life is but a vapor. Psalm 90, verse 10, the days of our years are 80 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. This window of opportunity we call life is uncertain. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. Time is precious. Psalm 39:5 says, "Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee." See, time is a precious commodity. You don't get a do-over. This isn't like Mario, where you bounce off the mushroom and you get another life, or the big plant eats you, and you just get another life. That's not how this is. It's not how it works. We don't get a do-over at this. And so time can be wasted. As you think of your window of opportunity, how many of us have regrets in this thing we call life? How many of us wish we had a mulligan, a do-over, that we could change things? I've thought of this as a father, because there's another kairos. You have a window of opportunity that your kids are at home. And you have that kairos with your kids, and there's times that, man, I wish I would have taken more time to do this or to do this differently. Time can be wasted. You guys already know how to fill this blank in three things that last for eternity. What is it? God, the Word of God, and the souls of men. And as much as you invest in those three things, you invest in eternity. And so if I'm not investing in God, the Word of God, or the souls of men, I'm not investing in eternity. And so time can be wasted. Now, I know we have to go to work. We have to pay our bills. But can you go to work and use that kairos, that opportunity, to invest in God, the Word of God, or in the souls of men? Can you do that? Even in a secular workplace? Absolutely. Can you take your kairos, your opportunity, while you're in high school, to invest in God, the Word of God, and the souls of men? Absolutely. And so no matter where we're at, no matter what we're doing on this planet, we can use that kairos, that opportunity, to invest in those three things. But how often do we waste that kairos not investing in those three things? Time can be wasted. I can go to work. Can I go to the store and invest in God, the Word of God, and souls of men? How about leisure time? Can I go to the golf course and use that kairos to invest in those things? Yeah, I can. I can do that. But see, we can waste our time. And the enemy knows this. This morning, as we've been going through systematic theology in the adult Sunday school class, we've been looking at angelology, and today we came to part of that study of angels, Satan, the enemy. Satan knows that we can waste our kairos, so what does he do? Keep the Christian from being involved in eternal things. Hey, if I can keep that Christian from being involved in God, the Word of God, or souls of men, he can have victory in that, wasting that kairos, that opportunity. Distract him from these things. Distract him from ministering to the souls of people. Get the Christian to go off zealously on his own path. There's a individual several years ago, I went off on the blood moons, and got off on his own path. He hasn't been involved in fellowship with other believers, just isolated himself. So if Satan can distract us, get us off on our own path, get us distracted even with good things, but not the best things, keep a Christian out of God's will or rendered ineffective because of sin, if the enemy can do that, if he can render you ineffective because there's sin in your life, you will waste your kairos, your opportunity. keep you out of God's will. Waste your time on temporary things. And I'm not against leisure time. I love to hunt. I love to fish. But you know, some of my best times in prayer have been in a deer stand. Some of my greatest times of fellowship have been sitting in a boat. We sat in a boat in Canada this year, enjoyed fellowship while fishing, enjoying that leisure time. I'm not against leisure time. I went to Ketchikan, Alaska with Dr. Vaughn this past summer. Gateway Baptist Church, went there, preached at the church. There's a dock ministry, three cruise ships a day come in, 15,000 people, so there's a dock ministry handing out gospel tracts. And then Doc Vaughn calls it ministry on the rocks. You go down and fish for salmon, but you're down there fishing with other people. And if we go down and catch salmon, great, but our goal, our purpose down there is to share the gospel. And so you start talking to the person next to you, you find out where they're from, what they're doing, you net their fish. And this year, standing down there, I'm netting a guy's fish. He didn't know how to tie a lure on right. He kept snapping his line, so I tied his lure on. I'm talking to him. He's from the Philippines. And share the gospel with him. And he says, would you do a Bible study at my house? I said, sure. So for the next 3 nights, he invited all his Filipino friends, did a Bible study at his house. Use that opportunity, use that kairos to share the gospel. But so much opportunity is wasted. You know, I went to my cousin's funeral here a couple months ago, and another cousin sang this song. I'm just going to share the words to this song that struck me. It says, make it count, leave a mark, build a name for yourself, dream your dreams, chase your heart above all else, make the name the world remembers. And it says, but all an empty world can sell is empty dreams. I got lost in the light when it was up to me to make a name the world remembers. And it says, all the kingdoms built, all the trophies won will crumble into dust when it's said and done, because all that really matters is, did I live the truth to the ones I love? Was my life the proof that there is only one whose name will last forever? The chorus of this says, I don't want to leave a legacy. I don't care if they remember me, only Jesus. I've only got one life to live. I'll let every second point to him, only Jesus, because Jesus is the only name to remember. When we think of our kairos, what are we pursuing that is going to be worthless, that's going to crumble into dust? And I'm not promoting the songwriter, the singer. I just listen to the words of this song. But those words are convicting. It's convicting to me. What am I pursuing that isn't going to last? It's empty. The world's philosophy is leave a mark, dream your dreams, make a name for yourself. Is that what we're doing? Or are we redeeming the time? Because a preacher in Ecclesiastes said, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. It's empty. You pursue this stuff and it's empty. It's like chasing bubbles. And so the enemy knows that time can be wasted. So the challenge today is to redeem the time. Make the most of the opportunity you have. You have one shot at this thing called life, and within that, you have other opportunities that will come to an end. Make the most of your opportunity that you have, because life is too short to live in conflict. Life is too short to live in conflict. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 18. If it be possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. Look at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 23:24. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother have aught against thee, leave there your gift before the altar, and go your way first to be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer thy gift. I've seen family members, the death of a loved one and the regret because of conflict over temporal things. And that opportunity is gone. That window of opportunity to minister to that person is over. Life's too short to live in conflict over ridiculous things. Life is too short to get distracted from God's will. Look at John chapter 9, verse 4. This is Jesus speaking. He says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can work. Your window of opportunity, there comes a point in time where that window closes. That kairos is over. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. God saved us to serve him. He saved us to do good works. Good works doesn't save you, but we've been saved unto good works. A few years ago, a coach from another high school, he called me at the start of the season. He said, Steve, you've challenged me in the past to use this platform that I have for eternity. But he said, last year I got sidetracked. He said it was all about winning. And he said, last year that entire season was wasted. He said, will you remind me, will you hold me accountable this year to use this opportunity for eternity? Will you challenge me to use this opportunity to share the gospel with these young men and to challenge them? And I said, yeah, you do the same for me. Challenge me to do the same thing. So all year long, we'd text each other back and forth. Hey, are you sharing the gospel? Are you using your opportunity? Because if all we're doing is winning matches, it's pointless. There's no sense in it. Well, this last year I resigned. I'm no longer coaching, but I was thinking of him on Tuesday. So I fired off this text. I said, good morning, brother. I was just thinking of you this morning and prayed for you. You're in a very unique position to use your platform for God's glory. You can win a state title, but if you're not trying to impact people for Christ, it's all in vain. I'm praying for you this season that the gospel will be your focus as you shape these young men. That opportunity, if all you do is win a state title, pointless, worthless. There's nothing wrong with sports, there's nothing wrong with coaching, hunting, etc., but it's worthless if it's not done for God's glory. If it's not done for his purposes. C.T. Studd said this, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. You have one window of opportunity in this thing called life. And then you stand before God and you give account. Life is too short to get sidetracked from God's will. Life is too short to be ungrateful. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord sometimes. And again, I say rejoice, right? No? What's it say? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. There's a faculty member out at Northland when I was there. When I walk past somebody, I usually say, hey, how are you? How are you doing? His answer to me, never fail, was always better than I deserve. I'm better than I deserve. Isn't that true? Isn't that true of a believer? Every single day, no matter what we're going through, what do we deserve? We deserve an eternity in hell. That's what we deserve. Doc O used to say out at Northland, he said, every day I don't wake up in hell, it's better than I deserve. That's the facts. But we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we have eternal life, forgiveness of sin every single day, no matter what I face as a believer. Praise the Lord, I can rejoice. But how often do we go around and we're ungrateful? We complain. We complain about this, we complain about that, complain about everything. Life's too short to be ungrateful. We have this window of opportunity, and every day I'm better than I deserve. Life's too short to be ungrateful. The light affliction we face is but for a moment compared to the eternal weight of glory. But we're often grumpy, ungrateful, complainers. Redeem the time by being grateful, by being thankful. Life is too short not to share the gospel. That family member, that neighbor, that friend may breathe his or her last before you see them or talk to them again. That's the facts. How often is the Spirit prompting us, hey, open your mouth, share the truth. But we're too busy, we're too distracted, we're too afraid. Colossians 4, 5 and 6, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Life's too short not to share the gospel. So how can I redeem the time? Let's go back to Ephesians. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. How can I redeem the time? Walk wisely. How can I redeem the time? Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Seek God's will and do it. What's God's will for your life? Identify time wasters and amputate it. The average American spends 7 hours and 4 minutes staring at a screen per day. Our 53 years awake, the average American spends 70% of that time in front of social media. I was convicted of this week, and I went on my phone and I put time limits on. You can do that. Did you know that? Set a time limit on certain apps, certain things, social media. And so I put a time limit on it, and it says time is up. Now, you got to be disciplined because you can hit ignore. You know? But it's a reminder, hey, you're wasting time. Quit wasting time. I put a time limit on, and I put my Bible and a pen on one table, and I put a couple books on another one. And I've been reading. I've been reading. What's that? Read God's Word. I have a wide margin Bible, and I've just been going through, taking notes. Read a couple commentaries. Read some biographies of missionaries. I've been looking at world history. Look at world history, and you can see as I'm going through world history, looking at world history and these different dynasties in Egypt and Babylon. And it all helps you understand God's word better. Don't waste time. Walk wisely. Identify time wasters and change it. Amputate those time wasters. Now, if a time waster is a person, don't amputate them. Seek God's will and do it. We see that in 5:17. Be spirit controlled. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Be controlled by the Spirit. Be an encourager, verse 19. Speak to yourselves. Speak to each other in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Do we encourage each other? Someone comes up, they're complaining, don't complain with them. Encourage them. God is good when? All the time. And all the time, God is good. Encourage them. Count your blessings. I had a little grandson come and visit. Oh, that kid was a complainer. I took him fishing. He started complaining when we got on the ice. And I had enough within 10 minutes. I said, listen, little man. I said, you can't complain about one thing and tell me you're thankful for four things. He said, I can't think of anything. I said, I told you, just complain. Don't do it again. And so he sat there and he named four things and then he complained once. I said, listen, four more things. But after about 20 minutes, he was done complaining because he knew I was, there was a hole there and I dropped my debit card down. I said, I'm going to hang you by your ankles to get my debit card pretty quick. Encourage people. We have a lot to be thankful for, don't we? Nobody's going to want to fish with me now. But be thankful. And as much as is possible, live peaceably with all men. I'm going outside of our text here with these things. Live with eternity's values in view. Study to show yourself approved unto God. 2 Timothy 2:15. Be a living sacrifice, Romans 12. How do we redeem the time? We have this window of opportunity. Very quickly, I'm going to end up going over today probably. Dale Hurdle. Dale was in his 80s. I was meeting with Dale every Tuesday. In probably the last 4 years of Dale's life, he said numerous times, he said, Steve, I want to finish well. He said, my window of opportunity is coming to an end. I want to finish well. We don't have to wait until we're 80. Dale didn't wait till he was 80 anyhow. Dale was serving the Lord through his entire life. But we don't have to wait until we're 80 years old. We can make a change right now, right? What am I wasting my kairos on? I want to finish well. Do you? Time's running out. I want to finish well. You know, Tuesday will be my third funeral in a week and a half. I've just been reminded that opportunities come to an end. I want to finish well. When will your opportunity be over? And I'm not necessarily talking about this thing called life, but even within life, when's your opportunity over with your kids at home? Your role at the workplace, your relationship with neighbors, family. When is your opportunity going to be over? It isn't going to matter how many trophies you won, how big your bank account is, or how many toys you have. That's not what's going to matter. What will matter is whether or not you used your opportunity to serve Him, to live for Him, or was your opportunity wasted? Make the most of your kairos, because that window will close and there is no do-over. Make the most of your kairos. Whatever that opportunity is, whether it's kids, family, work, but in this entire thing called life, it's precious. You have one shot at it. Don't waste it. I'd encourage you to take inventory. When you walk out of here today, stop and consider Ephesians 5, 15 through 20, and then make adjustments. For me, as I look back on 2023, I missed some opportunities. I know I did. I don't know how much time I have left. I don't know when my opportunity will come to a close, but I want to redeem that time and make it count for eternity. That's my resolve in 2024, to redeem my kairos. And I'd urge you to make that your resolve as well. Let's pray, and I'll ask the men that'll be serving communion to go ahead and come forward. Lord, thank you for the reminder today. I know I have missed opportunities this past year, missed opportunities in my life, and I just pray this year, myself, everyone here, that we would make the most of the kairos, the opportunity that you have given to us. May we use it for your glory, for your honor, with eternity's values in view. May we spend our kairos investing in you, your word, and in the souls of men. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.